We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
I think the possibility of Kyrie and LeBron reuniting is, you know, that door, which was deadbolted, has now been undeadbolted and is now cracked open.
You got to learn how to, like, finagle the bagel and go to back door.
Quote, there is no way in hell he's going to L.A.
My uncle had magic.
The Red Sox obliterate the Seattle Mariners.
Donald Trump, to his credit,
I like you,
just tweeted a couple minutes ago, has anyone noticed that all the Boston Red Sox have done, and he added the Red Sox, I'm sure they're thrilled.
Hi.
By the way, the Boston players were great. All caps, guys.
Guys, baseball is truly America's pastime. I love it. I don't know.
But would you consider making a goalie change for game three?
And it's Backus who stashed it in to make it 5-0.
Oh, I don't know. We haven't got to. Still got to.
You had a lot to get going on.
I wouldn't. You know, I think I'm back on
it. Nick,
right now.
You got to eat a poop sandwich. It doesn't taste good.
Come back with Damian Woody.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, why would you change the goaltender? No reason to change the goaltender. Things are going just peachy. No need to worry about
it. At that point in time, might as well just pull the guy.
Everyone?
Just pull him.
Just no goalie?
No. For Carolina, no. I don't think they need one. I may remind you guys that, and I may resend this out. I'm going to tweet out my video of how I became a goalie in the NHL.
Right.
To show you how easy it is to play the position.
It's not that easy.
Well, what that guy is doing.
So what about the other guy? What about Tuukka Rask? What he's doing?
Well, He's a pro.
Different than you.
He's elite status. No, I would not be elite status right now, but the other guy. Oh, what a nightmare. What a joke of a game. That was the.
When you have nightmares, is this what you see?
No. There's one thing about coming out, and they really outplayed the Bruins. The Hurricanes did in the first two periods of Game 1. And you sit there and say, okay.
Second period they did.
I thought the first period, other than the first 5 minutes, I thought they outplayed them in that first period, but so be it. So you come into Game 2, and even though the Bruins woke up in the third period, you're telling me that you show up and you give that type of performance?
Listen, this team is done.
They're done.
Okay? I don't know how else to... Okay. It's a cute little...
Go ahead, Paul Pierce. Go for it, Paul.
No, it is. It's over. I mean, so you watched the first two games, and I sent this tweet out afterwards, and apparently it might have made it down to Carolina. I don't know, because I got Redneckville all over.
Don't call them rednecks.
Another suspension.
So, honestly, it's the truth. You watch two games. Tell me this isn't true. I just tweeted out, after a couple of tough series was Toronto and Columbus, it was nice in the NHL, let the Bruins play the Hurricanes before they have to play with the Stanley Cup. It's a nice little scrimmage so the boys can work up a sweat.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's exactly what this thing feels like, especially, you know, in the middle of that game when it was 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. You're like, what are we doing? So, of course, you know, the Carolina people are so cute. Bulletin board material. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, how did it work for Arian Foster? Well, didn't he have, like, Dan Shaughnessy's article, like, in his locker when they came up to play the Pats?
Didn't work.
Yeah, that works real well. I tell you, if you're not a player and if you're not talking trash, it doesn't matter. And the Bruins fans, same thing. They weren't happy with me. Oh, dear, you don't jinx them.
Oh,
listen,
God.
I don't play. Okay, I don't play.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm sitting there saying the Bruins are going to walk through this series, and if it's not over in four, I'll be disappointed. Five tops. Maybe you drop a game. Maybe they wake up. I don't know. Respect your opponent. I get it. Five games, this thing is over. Carolina, listen, it was cute, it was nice, but you are in a different league.
Playing and watching hockey since I was 4 years old.
I don't know what else to tell you.
It almost makes me want to go back and look at Carolina and find out, how the hell did you get here? Because I can tell you, like, I didn't watch a Carolina game until they actually showed up. But how in the hell,
That's the NHL.
What did they do, and how the hell did they fool everybody?
They outplayed Washington. Well, they outplayed the Islanders.
They just got hot.
Yeah, you could do that.
And that, to me, it happens in this league. And they ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And obviously now the Bruins, as they were picking up steam, getting stronger, playing against two really good teams, they ran up against a team right now in Carolina that just has run out of gas, and they know it. That's the thing. They know that they're way over their heads.
Well, you find out tomorrow night, I think. I'm not ready.
Chuck Show.
I'm not ready to do the Paul Pierce quite yet, but
I am.
It's hard.
We got stats to show.
But I can't. I can't. But I can't see how Carolina can win four of the next five games. But can they extend the series? Maybe. I mean, the same thing happened with Washington, right? They lost the first two in a row.
Yep.
And then they won the next two at home. Yep. And they're unbeaten at home. But the Islanders, you know, come on, they can't score. So who the hell knows? But it's an NHL thing. Where you can come out, you can knock off that team above you, and then suddenly when the other goaltender gets better than your goaltender, you're done.
Well, and isn't that the biggest difference, though? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, they don't have...
Their very first goal, I'm not even kidding. We got to find this like YouTube thing that I did, because it's so easy. The goals that he was giving up were so easy that it's almost like you're pissed that you're giving up the easy ones.
And here's your chance, right? McElhinney's probably going to be in net, right? I would imagine.
You would think.
I would hope. Yeah. That's the only shot you had. He comes in, he was really good in the last series. Maybe he comes in and just, it looks like Bobrovsky, right? Yeah. Maybe steals a game, maybe two, gets hot. I don't know. I didn't mind him not bringing him in. It was kind of funny, you know, because I was sitting there watching it. It can go both ways, right, on this one. Should they have brought him in game two?
No. And I'll tell you what, if you're going to use him in game three, you don't bring him in game two, because if he gets injured in a third period of a 6-0 game, then you're screwed for game three.
What happens if he gives up a couple softies?
At least now
you can sit there and say, we lost this game. Mentally, we can say, we got a new goalie in there. We're going to change this thing up.
Right.
What if he goes in there, to your point, he gets hurt? Now you're screwed.
You're screwed.
Oh, if he gives up a goal or two. You
not
know,
good.
I mean,
not good.
Yeah, so you just waited for game three, but that's your shot. Then he goes out there and goes nuts.
I thought they were gone.
And it could happen, though.
When Mrazek gave up that first goal, that was a softie.
Awful.
And the rest of the team is probably sitting there going, oh, my God, what are we doing? Think about this. There were 10 unanswered goals in this series between game one and game two, right? 10 unanswered goals. That is off the charts. Where do you see stuff like that? It's ridiculous.
But, I mean, when you watch Columbus, when you watch Toronto, you know, there's concerns. Who concerns you on this team?
The only thing that concerns me is one of these goaltenders gets hot. Mrazek has been one of those goaltenders. When he's good, he's
Sebastian
good. When
Aho.
He's bad,
okay.
He sucks. He's a good
Point
player.
Game. Very
he's a really
good player.
Good player.
Yes, he is. And he's burned the Bruins before in the past. But, all right, is he on the level of some of the other guys you faced?
Not Dougie Hamilton, I can tell you that.
Doug Hamilton. I mean, even Slavin, the defenseman.
That boy is out to
that's
lunch
not
right
Seth
now.
The chant is Dougie. That's not Seth Jones.
No.
You know, I'm just saying, the goaltender's the worst goaltender you faced.
And you're seeing
I don't see it. This thing is done.
Yeah, your lower lines are coming to life right
nice.
Now.
So it's nice. They went backwards. Rather than play Carolina in the first round. You know,
it's a good way of
Columbus,
looking at it.
And then Toronto, they went backwards.
Have you heard already?
So they got
about,
a nice little breather before they got to go for the Stanley Cup.
So get all the hard work out of the way early, right? Do the hard stuff now. Now just kind of float and kind of just drift into the to the
cocky,
championship.
Arrogant, right? Yeah. Radio, typical radio guy, Boston media, blah blah blah. Reality sucks, doesn't it? It doesn't honesty suck. So your team is done.
So they'll come out in game three, and they'll have lots of energy. The fans will be going crazy. They'll bring that stupid pig out, and they may roast that pig. That mascot pig.
Careful, don't bring that thing around here.
They may roast that thing, and you get nothing but a bunch of bacon and some shoulder work right there and put it on a sandwich.
Oh, it's nice. So you're going to have a third team in Boston in the finals with a good chance to win a cup.
Oh, only one team screwed up.
Yeah, so
makes it even worse for the Celtics, doesn't it?
How much worse is Danny Angefield and the boys? But no, you're going to have the Bruins going for the cup. It's going to be nice. It'll be a fun couple weeks. Can we just get this thing over with so we don't get any injuries? Like, they should have like a controlled scrimmage. Like, they shouldn't even play for real. Like, they should just kind of, like, you know, play for a little bit. Maybe 3-on-3, practice skills. You know, maybe just, you know, you can have a power play, we'll have a power play. Just stuff to work on. Can we just, it's like a Patriots scrimmage. You know what I mean?
That's like what pre-season. It looked like yesterday.
Yeah, we'll just do some red zone practice.
Beneath that ice are the markings we call the center red line.
We know we're going
to
win.
No tackling to the ground.
Yeah. Just a controlled, nice little scrimmage.
I mean, early whistle.
Thursday.
No one's going in the penalty box. No one's going to get, nothing's bad going to happen to anybody.
No, and some strange things, too. You know, Brad Marchand, instead of taking a stupid penalty, he lured Justin Williams into a dumbass penalty, didn't he? I mean, he's lucky he didn't get caught with the stick up there. But on the other hand, he's sitting there going, see?
Well, that's when you know things are going well for you. He's baiting you and you're taking it, I can easily understand it. Not only did they beat them down, but they just threw dirt in their face as they walked out the door.
See, I still didn't like that. I mean, not to pile on the dude. I still didn't like that.
What, the Marchand
deal? Hooking a guy by the neck and being like, ha-ha, I gotcha?
Well, that's to me, it's been different.
We're going to applaud that now?
Okay. Applaud, yes. When it works for you and it actually works, yes, you do applaud it. To me, when I saw it, I was like, good. He actually got away with one.
He did.
His antics are actually working. When they work, you're like, oh, this is great.
No, see, I like game one.
When he punches somebody in the back of the head.
When he pulled the guy away because he knew there was going to be a penalty.
We all know that was fraudulent. That was fake.
I don't like a stick in a guy's neck and yanking him.
Yeah, but the old
The
old Marchand would have retaliated the retaliation because Williams retaliated after Marchand got the stick up on the neck. But then he didn't retaliate. He suddenly became the good guy.
No, that's him. That's him. I do
that's
something. Cute. Ooh, what did I do?
That's cute.
Yeah, but when it's like everything's working, right? So he looks like the good guy. He's pulling guys off him in game one. Game two, he's obviously set him up. He knows that the Hurricanes, he knows that they're frustrated. He knows that they're pissed off. He knows that they're on edge because nothing is working for them. They get a power play, they can't get any goals. They get in the penalty box, they give up a goal.
Goal is like, all right, penalty kill, let's go. They drop the puck, goal.
Yeah.
And you're
they don't
like,
be staying there that
DeBrusk
long. DeBrusk
sat in front of the net for about 5 seconds. Somebody want to hit him? Somebody want to find the puck? He just sat there. What did he take, 3 shots before he finally got one in?
Yes.
It was like, what is this team doing right now?
No, the whole thing was a joke yesterday. And it was hard to watch. I don't know about you guys, but it was one of those where you're sitting there going, man, just get this thing over with.
I felt like, you know, when like a little kid, like a big bully will take a little kid and put his hand on his head. And he tells the other kid, the little kid, like,
swing
try
away.
And hit me.
Yeah.
And he's just swinging away with his eyes closed.
Sort of like
he's putting out all this effort, but he's not doing any damage whatsoever. Yeah. That's what it felt like.
Yeah,
mercy killer.
When you have a goalie that's playing that badly right now, you can't get anybody.
But it is everything, though. Bruins have so much open space in front of the net, and it just, I mean, what was it, the Clifton goal?
Yeah.
Where it was just like, oh my God, like everyone's like, that's a goal, like before it even happened, like seconds before. Guys are just wide open. I don't know what the hell this team is doing
right now. And it makes the whole organization look great. I mean, Marcus Johansson has been excellent in the playoffs.
So
Charlie
right
Coyle's
now.
Been excellent in the playoffs, right?
Yep.
So they're looking good in every move they made. This idea of an asterisk, have you already heard this? People talking about, well, if they win it, there should be an asterisk.
No.
For what? What? For what reason? Teams line up. You can sit and bitch about the playoff formula and the fact that you've got to play within your division, and that's how you start. And then they have these two wildcard teams. You want to bitch about that? Bitch about it in the offseason. We can change it for next year. But you can't take away their accomplishments if this team goes on to win the cup and say, well, they didn't have to face any tough teams.
I don't care what Columbus's record was. That's
exactly.
The team.
Right.
Now, this team, I have like my respect is zero. Like, I just don't, whatever. This thing is over with. But Toronto, Columbus, good teams. And whenever you get to the Cup, whether it's San Jose, most likely, it's a good team.
I would say this, Lou.
No, there's no asterisk.
You want to win tomorrow night. You want to end
the path opened up for you. No one's going to deny that.
You want to end this thing as quickly as possible. I think Chara could use a little bit of rest right now. There are a couple guys on this team that probably could use a little bit of rest, even if they're rusty in game one. Let's say the West goes 7 games and you're a little bit rusty. I'll take that, but I think right now, and you get in a big series against a bigger team, you want to make sure the Char's got a little bit of rest.
If you can end this thing in 4 or 5, whatever, and you get some extra time, this is like bye week 9 or 10, right? Like you win the first round, you sweep the first round of the postseason, it's like bye week 4. It's nice, you'll take it, but you really could use it now.
All right, well,
there's a perfect opportunity for them.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines. We'll talk about the Bruins at 617-779-7937. And Stephen A. is at it again. Stephen A. Smith today. Seems to just be locking in. Now he's got sources up the kazoo where Kyrie Irving is going. We'll get into that as well. And if the Red Sox finally figured this thing out, big weekend, a sweep this weekend. We'll get into all of that at 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I think just all in all, we got to rediscover who we are. You know, you spend
all this time off leading up and everyone writing articles about how great you are. And then, you know, you come out and sometimes you gotta eat a poop sandwich. It doesn't taste good. And you have to chew on it for a little bit, and we'll have to do it for a couple days and get the taste of our mouth next game.
That's how you fire up a team. That's how you fire
poop
up a team.
Poop sandwich.
Yep. Fire up a team.
I get it.
That's going to be the theme, you know, tomorrow night.
Yeah, you gotta put all the crap on the sandwich. Yeah. You know, eat it and see, taste gross. Yeah, I've never heard anyone say poop sandwich.
You got to eat a poop sandwich. It doesn't taste good.
Nope. Tastes nasty, actually.
Sandwich.
Never actually tasted one before.
That'll be
a
big theme.
About.
Big theme tomorrow night. Get ready for it.
They should serve that at the game tomorrow.
How about Tara Sullivan today in the Boston Globe? There's one thing about getting excited about something you just saw. There's another about, as we've said many times, being a victim of the moment. Bruce Cassidy belongs among Boston's great coaches.
Of all time or right now?
Or just for the moment? Like the last year?
I would say he was the best coach on Sunday. Best coach I saw on Sunday.
Okay. That's the only guy.
Can you say like to be determined? If they lose in the cup, is he still one of the great coaches of all time here?
No, he is not.
Like, I don't understand.
No. I would say he needs to win a couple of them. I think he would need a couple of them to even be considered,
If he wins
right?
one, you give him credit for what he's done. Just like, you know, you give Cora's only won one. You give him credit. But don't you have to? This is sort of like where we were a year or two ago with Brad Stevens, wasn't it?
Yes.
Second best coach in the NBA behind Pop. And you're like, okay, we like him, but yeah, don't we have to sort of wait?
It's funny.
Well, the other thing is that we are talking about the here and like now, him. Right? We're not talking about in the history,
right?
No,
I love Cassidy.
Right? Some of the, yeah, so do I.
Love the way he is post-game.
So
love
do
all
I.
the sound. Love
so
him.
Do I. I would say the only coach in the city that doesn't answer any questions is Bill.
What did you say?
Right. That's the only one that doesn't answer. Everybody else gives you something that you can chew on. Maybe not a poop sandwich, but they give you something that you can chew on.
Yeah, Brad Stevens is a good comparison. And notice some of the national people. I saw Ryan Russillo did it, I think, in his podcast. He's reeling it back in. They're all reeling it back in. They're now saying maybe we went a little overboard on Brad Stevens. Of course you did, because you saw somebody come from nothing with nothing players, and they became okay. And there's a big difference of getting to the next level. But this is typical what Tara Sullivan did. You know, you got to fill up some space in your column, and you're looking at it. What's the last thing I saw? You know what? He's a pretty good coach. He's better than Claude. Well, wait a minute. Claude won in 2011. Had himself a great goaltender that year, did he not? And right now, if you would look at the Bruins, and you tell me what you think the strongest part of the Bruins games that has led them to a 2-0 lead right now in the Eastern Conference Final.
Oh, it's easy. It's easy. It's the goalie. So you can make a bunch of mistakes. You can have a guy. You can make every wrong decision. Your goalie will constantly bail you out.
So I would say this. I would say if anybody's looking at being a victim of the moment, and you want to stretch it out to the entire playoffs, what we should be saying is there were a lot of people in this town, including Mr. Hockey Felger and the other station against us, who said $7 million, this is a joke. Get rid of him. You can find somebody that can do what he does for $3 million.
You suck.
And I'm telling you, for those people that were all over Tuukka Rask, unless he, you know, suffers with a poop sandwich here in the next few weeks, this guy is your savior this year.
He's in the middle, and once again, he's got to finish it as well, because as we said, when he beat Toronto, he was absolutely outstanding, and I said, you know, now he gets to look forward to kind of possibly being crapped on because he's bad in the next series, right? So he can be lights out. They could sweep the next two. But if he has a bad Stanley Cup, nothing will change.
And we're seeing a past. He's got a history, Lou.
Nothing will change.
But he won against Philadelphia, lost that series.
But he's in the middle of, you know, the whole David Price thing last year.
Yes.
But, you know, you still got to finish it. Once again, just like, I don't want to say Cassidy's one of the great coaches in Boston history. And Tuukka, I mean, the whole thing is you can't win a cup with him. No one ever said you can't win the first round with him, or the second round, or an Eastern Conference Finals with him.
Yep.
Can't win a cup. So he's on his way. He's on his way to be Conn Smythe. He'll be MVP of the whole damn thing if he continues to do what he's doing.
Yeah, but
you got to finish it.
Of course, and that just comes with the territory. That's just the way it is. And you're right, the David Price example is perfect. No matter how well he played in a divisional series or in one game, if he didn't help you win the World Series, he would still be coming into this year dealing with the same issues that he had the year before and the year before that.
I'm sorry.
And that's just the nature of the position.
Tuukka's so close to holding all the cards.
Yeah, he's really close. Can you imagine
six
if
more
two players in the city,
cards
they each have... Well, what are they going to do? Share the cards? What are they going to do? No, split them up on the weekend? No,
that's your
every other weekend?
You get
a divorce family?
You get 52. So you get to take them home.
Yeah? You get
that's
them all?
It. Yeah. So she writes, but as Cassidy takes the Bruins one game deeper into the Eastern Conference final Sunday against Carolina, maybe it's time to take the full measure of his place among Boston's big four coaches. Time to recognize that being the least heralded should not imply he's the least accomplished. Well, okay.
Well, he hasn't won anything, right?
Right. Well, no. The most accomplished would be Belichick, and we're going to put him on a separate platform, and then everybody down
and
below.
Who?
And then
Coors.
Coors won one. So
okay,
he
Coors, too.
And he's a big drop from Belichick.
What's going on?
But he's that on that lower level. And then after that, it's a toss.
Push.
And right now, today, she's right. On May the 11th or May the 12th, she's right because Cassidy is still alive with his team.
So,
and Brad Stevens
so a
and
year
the Celtics
ago,
are
yeah.
dead.
Yeah. Now, listen, I understand the competition is very high, okay? But a year ago, if I told you Brad Stevens the fourth best coach in this city, what would you tell me?
A year ago?
Some people thought he was better than Bill.
A year ago?
The Green Bruce Team. Cassidy?
Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens.
The Green Teamers would be all over him.
Did you hear that statement a year ago?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
But
nationally, a lot of people are falling for it. As I just said, they're starting to turn right now. They're starting to look at it and say, oh, my God, he can't coach egos. He can't coach stars. He can coach cute little teams.
How do you ultimately judge your coach? Okay, obviously, the obvious is wins, championships.
Very good.
I said obviously.
Yeah. Communicator.
Okay, after that, what's next? Because
communicator.
The wins is the most important thing. But after that, okay, where's all the work being done?
I'd say press conferences and who's better than Bill.
I would say the one area where the most criticism is towards that Celtics team, and that's communication, identifying roles.
Yeah,
and
getting guys to play your roster.
Up to their talent level. So I would say that's the one category where you would give Brad Stevens an F. Not in-game stuff, but as far as communicating roles, dealing with issues within your locker room, just communicating your players, and getting the most out of your talent, he has failed. He failed
that. But that's basically what he's doing.
And I'm not saying it's 100% him. It's the athletes he deals with and the sport he deals with.
But
that's just a reality.
Well, I mean, and credit to Cassidy. I mean, I know we're poo-pooing this story. That's the theme of the day.
Poo-poo sandwich.
We're going to poo-poo this story.
You got to eat a
poo-poo
sandwich.
But the fact
sandwich.
Is that, you know, Marchand didn't even have a point, and they just smoked the Carolina Hurricane. So all these role players and depth players and second and third liners, those are the guys back as
Which
being
is,
this. All of a sudden, he's back to being a 25-year-old.
Here's the other problem that she has to think of. A year ago, I don't think anybody thought that the Celtics, with major injuries, were going to be able to do what they did. All right, there are very, very circumstances on why they did, and that is to get to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Championship. Right now, they're the favorite to win the Cup.
Yes.
So if he doesn't win the Cup, let's say suddenly Carolina comes to life and you end up playing a Game 7. Even if you win Game 7, but you suddenly play a Game 7, are people going to look at Cassidy a little bit differently? If you lose in the Stanley Cup Finals, are they going to look at him a little bit differently? Maybe she'll have to come out and put another column
together.
Well,
I'll say this. I mean, expectations change, right? And they have to. Because Tampa's bounced you out where you are. So never in a million years would anybody say this when the season started or when the playoffs started. But if you lose the Eastern Conference Finals here to Carolina, it's a huge failure. Huge failure right now.
That's why I don't know how you can write that.
Huge.
You're writing it at this moment that you're in.
It's not going to happen.
Where are you versus the other coaches? We know that Belichick is head and shoulders. We're not even putting anybody in the same conversation. Coors already won one last year. And then, okay, he might be, at the end of this, we might put him temporarily ahead of Brad Stevens. Fair to say? And that's not a knock on him. I think he's done a damn good job. He's changed the style. He's been much different. Yes.
I put him ahead of Stevens now.
Well, probably.
Yeah. I put him ahead of Stevens
now. Yeah, but there's not much difference. I mean,
I put him ahead.
But they're not in a category of Bill. And I don't know.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Get lucky one year.
But Cassidy, you're sitting there saying, okay, this is your team, right? He's shown he can coach this team. Brad shown he can't coach stars. He might not be able to coach a team that's got enough talent to win a championship. That we don't know that. I mean, think about it. You don't know if your coach is the type of guy that can handle coaching a team that's talented enough to win a championship. So I think Cassidy right now, I put him far above.
And I'll give you this, too. And you're already seeing it with these other stars in the game, that the NBA is such a different animal where these players take over. And they're divas to the 10th degree. You don't have that in hockey. Hockey guys are usually great with coaches, right? You don't usually have that. Every once in a while, you'll get one of those guys.
I think they're just hockey players. They're just hockey guys. But the other difference, too, is like the great hockey player. We mentioned before, Marchand's making what, 6'1"?
Yes.
Okay. I think money makes a big difference. You start playing a league where everyone's making 20, everyone's making 15, and your stars are making 40? No, you're dealing with a different breed.
I'm just saying, in
hockey, right. Everyone's out there making 3, 3.5. Stars are making 6, 7, 8, whatever. But, you know, they're all doing well for themselves. But no one's out there sitting and saying, you want to buy a jet. You want to buy a jet? I think I might buy 2 jets. You want to buy 2 jets? Like, you know, they just don't do it.
Yeah, money has a lot to do with it. And I'll give you the other one, too, is not only are they making $30, $40 million, but they can determine what team they're going to. I don't want to stay here. Nah, I'm going to go to that team. Nah, I'm going to get together with 2 other guys and we're going to play on that team. That doesn't happen in any other sport. All right, we get to your phone calls coming up next at 617-779-7937. And Stephen A. claims he's got more deeper sources right now when it comes to the future of Kyrie Irving. All of that coming up next right here on OMF.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
As time passes here, I would have said that this was impossible for many months. But as time passes here, and as, you know, the possibility exists that Jason Kidd could be hired as the Lakers coach, I think the possibility of Kyrie and LeBron reuniting is, you know, that door, which was dead bolted, has now been undead bolted and is now cracked open.
No question, it might even be opening more
by the day. And I say that not because I just think it's on Kyrie's radar. It's on Kyrie's board. He has had discussions with people about playing for the Lakers.
That's interesting. That is Brian Windhorst. He is the caddy for one LeBron James, and he's talking about the Lakers. Okay, Jason Kidd did not become the head coach. He's an assistant. Frank Vogel gets the job. But you guys tell me. Because I think there's zero chance or very little. I'll leave it to Stephen A. in a second. But it makes no sense for him to go back to Los Angeles in that situation. But don't you get the feeling that's coming for LeBron? LeBron has got plan A, plan B, plan C, and he's planting the seeds out there for who he wants and how we can accomplish it.
Yeah, LeBron had a rough night.
No, can we just say that LeBron James and all those let's switch teams and that whole experiment, that those days are over? He's kind of left the nest too many times. It's not going to happen again. And I will give you the floor, and you can get into a long explanation of the West and what it's like and how difficult it's going to be if he decides to stay there, and even if he wants to come to the East.
I would say,
Rome,
and
the floor is yours.
Right, thanks, Rob. I would say everything's in play. I have no idea. I'm not going to predict to try to tell what Kyrie Irving is thinking right now. And I don't think anybody should. The guy could. Who knows what the hell he's thinking?
He doesn't know what he's thinking.
No, I'm just. He could talk to LeBron and say, you know what, I was wrong. You know what I mean? I think you and I can do great things together out there in L.A. Let's try this again. We could think it's stupid. We could say it won't work. He could talk to Durant about going to New York, doing the same thing. We can say it's dumb. We can say, please do it. I'd love to watch it. I have no idea what that man is going to do. Because don't even try to pretend you can read his mind.
So Stephen A. has new sources today on the future of Kyrie.
I got a text message from folks close to Kyrie's family within the hour. Quote, there is no way in hell he's going to L.A. I don't give a damn what anybody says. Knock that down for us right now, please. He ain't going to L.A.
So that's still the text? They say.
From everything that I've been hearing over the last few days, Kyrie Irving's heading to New York City. I am told that James Dolan himself has basically said, whatever the hell you want. I will move the hell out of the way. I will give you whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You can't even say, I'll take care of you. To the Kyries and the Kevin Durants of the world.
Okay.
First of all, I feel better if the source were actually Kyrie's family as opposed to people who are close to Kyrie's family. Is that the UPS guy? I mean, who is that?
So it's a, I'll take care of
you. So it's a friend of the family. So there's a bunch of different layers to this. Just okay, so it's a friend of the family. Is this like a distant cousin who's part of the family?
No, it would have been
really
that,
has
that, no
information.
No, that would have been the family.
Mom, dad, right? So there's we have no idea. It could be a cousin who just ended up being there for Christmas, or you know, next thing you know, said, "Oh yeah, don't you dare! No way! I heard him talking about it."
Like, close to the family, not part of the family, because you could have it with a third or fourth cousin. You'd sit there and say, "Member of the family."
Yeah, I'm right. Part of that same last name.
This makes no sense.
Close to Kyrie's family.
But I honestly think that there's.
To Kyrie's
I think Stephen A. Smith is being played.
Could be the barber.
Stephen A. Smith is being played.
Of course he's being played.
That is what's happening. He's running with it. And here's out of all the guys to give out information, are we going to trust this guy? The same guy with the Hunter Henrys of the world? Let me do that. The
Hunter Henrys of the world.
Okay,
that
please.
That is friends with the guy that was friends with Bryce when they played Little League. And I know that guy. Friends of a friend?
Can we just say like
I did not say that.
If you speak loud and you know really go on a tirade, doesn't necessarily mean you're right.
How how can you say that? How can you use that?
He's
source?
Played. I've talked
to friends of a friend. How's that even valid? What is this, a telephone game?
No, sources close to Kyrie's family. So that can
sources
be
close to the Kyrie's friends family. Of Kyrie's family.
How close?
I had sources.
This is going to be another example of Stephen A. Smith being wrong.
It
now,
don't matter,
program note, we have asked Stephen A. Smith to come on the show, but he hates Glenn, he hates Lou. He likes me, but all right, the eyes
have it. I think he hates you.
Yeah, but, no, he doesn't hate me. But he's going to be
he
wrong.
He doesn't hate us. He hates the station.
Played.
He's got a problem with the station.
Stop it.
Yeah, but
and we want to talk to
him. No, he doesn't have a problem with the station.
It's an easy out.
Someone who used to work at the station.
It's an easy out for him. This is a guy that said that, you know, I mean, you can go up and down about how he's been wrong and how he's come back within seconds and said, I was wrong. He wasn't a running quarterback.
More of a runner than a thrower.
Right. So he'll just come back and say, all I can tell you. Is that I had sources that think, and you know, I talked to those sources. You know what they told me? Things changed.
Yeah.
So and then he'll come up with some new story and why it changed.
That's
so he's,
out.
He's got outs everywhere.
No,
so
the money was just too good.
Can we go back to where you just said, you know, you don't know what Kyrie's thinking, and you're right. Who the hell knows? I mean, this is a guy who believes that the earth is flat. So who knows what he thinks? But we also know this is a guy that wanted to get away from LeBron. He wanted to have his own team. So he's going to pick up right now when he has a golden opportunity to go to numerous places. He's going to make that decision that over the next 3 years, he's going to be playing side by side with LeBron James in the Western Conference, where the Lakers did not make a playoff berth this past year. And if you look at LeBron, if anybody thinks he's an 82-game regular season player, at his age, you're crazy. Okay? And we already know Kyrie is not an 82-game player.
I'm tired. I want to go home.
And you look at the West, Golden State's not going anywhere. Maybe they come a little bit down a notch or two if no Kevin Durant's there, no Klay Thompson. But you look at Portland, you look at Denver, you look at Utah, you look at the Clippers who are going to get to Houston. The Lakers are a team that might not make the playoffs. How bad does that look for Kyrie if he's got to face that embarrassment?
Well, I know, but what about the Eastern Conference? I mean, I'm saying you're starting to get some balance here, aren't you?
Yes.
Now, we don't know what Kawhi's going to do, but if Kawhi stays, you got Giannis, you know, Philly still building something down there. Oladipo comes back. I don't know, you know, I mean, okay. that's four teams right there.
So the question I have is, why would you go to New York? Again, if you want to be the guy in your team, you're not if you go with Kevin Durant. He's the guy. You're the backup guy, okay? You're the Robin. I guarantee you, he's heard that a few times, the Batman and Robin thing. Do you think he likes being compared to, you're the Robin, you're not the Batman?
Yeah, he thinks he's the alpha dog. He thinks he's running the show.
And what's laughable is Stephen A., who's talking about James Dolan is willing to do anything,
sold
get out
Danny
of the
Ainge.
Way. Does anybody believe that? No, there's a difference. Wick Grosbeck, Danny Ainge have got a track record here, okay? They allow people to do their jobs. They've got a set structure. The Knicks have just the opposite. The owner doesn't like a fan sitting in the stands and he wants to throw him out.
Because
he doesn't like what the fans said to him. Are you kidding me? Kyrie would believe James Dolan, I'll get out of the way. And then what happens when you lose seven in a row? Anybody think a crazy owner's going to stay out of the way?
Bring up him. Hold him for Kevin.
That's a place.
Hold him for Kevin.
It's a place that's a place for disaster. And you've already heard national people sitting there going, they hope it happens. Why do they hope it happens? Because they want to see them lose. Because they want to dump all over them.
I think people get just, they get confused by the way Kyrie is and, you know, and how he speaks and his choices.
What makes you say that?
They get confused.
You can't understand a freaking word he says?
Okay, but I understand him. I see him.
Oh, you speak Kyrie?
I do. I understand it. Okay, so I can only hear it. Okay,
Kyrie
but
whisper.
He doesn't. Most of his choices, his career choices, have been pretty damn good. His choices, think about from college, leaving early, movies,
even early,
you name it, off
games.
The court, doesn't matter. The point is that he knew what he was getting himself into. So I would say his career decisions for his own finances and the betterment of his life have been right. Would you agree with that? Would you agree for the most part, based on his career decisions, basketball and off the court, he's aligned himself with, been good.
Well, wait a minute.
Based
on what everybody's telling me, that he wants to go to New York right now.
Hold on.
He wanted to go to his own team. Sounds to me like he's ready to make a mistake.
Listen, that's not the question. Okay, we're not talking about what he may or may not do.
He went to Duke Duke went out.
So far, don't overanalyze it. Okay, that's your problem with you.
Overanalyze.
Very simple question.
Yeah, you're a simple man.
You don't think he screwed this year up? Listen,
the decision to come here was okay.
Yes.
Okay, but how did he handle it?
Hold on. Listen, first of all, he handled it terribly. Okay, terribly. No one's debating that. That's who he is. That's going to be him anywhere he goes. So I don't care, New York, Houston, wherever. I don't care where he goes. You're going to get the same Kyrie. My point is, when people sit in the seat, people like Stephen A. Smith say, he's going to New York. No, we can sit here and we can put it on paper. And the best decision, the smartest decision, okay, ownership, fan loyalty, coaching, is all here. You can make more money here. They're going to bring in other talent for you. Winning is important here. There's a long history of it here, not only with this team, but the other teams. So, yeah, they're a little rough on you. It's one of the toughest places to play if you suck. But when you win, it's worth it financially and career-wise. So my point to you was, based on all his decisions, his career decisions, have they been good or bad? As of now, don't give me, he's thinking about going to New York. Have his decisions been good?
Well, they've been okay.
How he's managed.
Wait a minute. He hasn't had a lot of control.
Yes.
He got drafted by Cleveland.
I don't understand your point. I can't stand you sometimes.
I don't understand your point.
Like, you're so irritating.
I don't understand your point.
Is it a yes
what is your
or
point?
No
it's not a
question.
Yes or no. This is Greg. You don't believe in Greg.
Has he managed his career?
You don't believe in Greg.
Has he managed his
career? No, he screwed this up.
How?
He has screwed this up. This year he screwed it up.
Who
already told you? He screwed it up this year.
You're mixing the two. That's your problem. Okay? You're mixing his personality.
Well, be more specific.
His career, what else can I say? Did he make good career decisions? Yes or no?
Okay, we'll play along.
He made wonderful decisions. Here, I'm glad.
Going to Duke. He could have gone to Montana State. He went to Duke instead of Montana State.
He still
State.
Had a choice. My thing is, I trust the fact that with all the craziness and all the nuttiness and all the weird answers that he gives, at his heart, he still has a good support system. He has good people advising him, telling him what the smartest...
So that's your point.
Yes, he will make the right decision. And the right decision, as uncomfortable as it may be, is staying here in Boston. So Stephen A. Smith, shut up. You know, nobody trusts you. Not until you give me the source, and it's got to be directly from his mouth.
So you think this New York thing is a bunch of crap?
I think the whole
set
is crap. What can I call it? Red herring? How about that? You understand that. You're a field
guy.
You tried to be an actor. Right. You failed miserably.
Right.
You
didn't
have a face for it, right?
Exactly.
You decided to get behind a microphone.
That is exactly
because nobody could stand looking at your
face.
It's a red herring.
You got it.
Don't follow it.
You got it.
Okay, it's going to set you up, and there's someone with a knife and a mask, and they're going to stab you.
So
you're going to be the young virgin.
So unfortunately, Christian, we're doing a talk show. We have to talk about it for the next 2 months. So it's going to be back and forth, New York, Boston. And this is a guy, I don't know what he thinks today, and he might think something totally different a week from now. We've already seen that with him. He's changed his mind about three times during the course of the season.
Do you agree with me or not?
Did he change his mind three times this year?
I think he's as unpredictable as anything I've ever seen.
So why are you making him predictable? You're suddenly sitting here making him predictable.
When it comes to business, I think a lot of these guys... they talk brash and I'm a badass and I'm going to do this. But what it really comes down to, there's a financial advisor, there's an agent, there's a life coach, and everybody's telling them, dude, what are you doing? And they're going to give him comparisons. Do you want to be this guy? You want to be that guy? What do you want as a career goal? Okay, well, that the easiest, clearest path to that goal is right here in the great city of Boston.
Yeah, you're trying to make Kyrie Irving logical.
No,
he's not logical. Listen,
Is he a little crazy? Yeah.
Yes.
But is he dumb? No.
I didn't say he was dumb, but is he logical?
No, but that's personality wise. That's
okay.
When he shows you that part of his personality, like that's him just he doesn't know what he's doing.
And I'm looking
in front of
the
what
you're doing, because I agree with your final point about him.
Oh my God,
it's your point.
I'm just letting you two guys yell.
Christian, it's not Kyrie's point. It's your point.
Do you agree?
You're being logical. Do I agree? The best position for him. The best position for him is to stay here. And to add Anthony Davis onto the roster, and then suddenly you become a contender. But do you think he's logical enough to think that way?
And there's proof.
Where's the proof?
He wanted out of Cleveland. One. If you don't want to go back to his college days, fine. He knew that he had to get out of Cleveland. I would say that was a nice little comfy situation that he had. But he knew that if he wanted the ultimate goal, which is his own team and everything else that went along with that, he had to leave Cleveland.
Yeah, but I would say, did he pick Boston?
He wasn't going to go to Phoenix. I would say he definitely had some direction in it. And, hey, I'll play along, but don't send me to Phoenix.
I would say that.
Don't send me here.
Again, I'm not going to predict where the guy goes, but I would say that in normal situations, most organizations would say, this guy's gone. He's not going to stay here. This organization is different for what Danny can do. He could change the whole landscape of this team. Yeah, we saw it a couple years back. We blew up the entire team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's changed everything. He said, Kyrie, I understand what's going on here and the dynamic and some of the personalities don't mesh, but they're all going to go because I'm bringing in Anthony Davis. Do you like playing with Marcus Smart? Do you like playing with Al Horford? Do you like playing with Aaron Baines? You're going to like playing with Anthony Davis.
And that's going to be the
Hayward?
Pitch. Like that's going to be
Gordon
the pitch.
Hayward? Good.
Because
you don't have to deal with Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier nipping at your heels.
Right.
Unfortunately, we're going to move them.
I think the reality is going to set
in. That changes
in
the whole dynamic.
And they sit there and they put it on paper. Okay, pros and cons. Okay, because you're going to let him know what he's looking at this team. And they're going to have all the answers to the test. And he's going to put it right here in black and white. So it's really easy for you to understand. He's going to have a come to Jesus moment if he hasn't had one already. And just win, and then you will be the new David Price.
It's funny because there's no doubt in my mind that the Celtics are going to pitch him that way. And it's going to piss off a lot of the Celtic fans out there because I think on the whole, and you can see it with all these polls, most people want him gone. Danny Ainge is not in a position. Wick Grosbeck is not in a position. From a business standpoint, getting back to your argument about business standpoint, to move on from Kyrie because the alternative is not pretty, and it could be outright ugly. So they are going to pitch Kyrie to come back here, and they're going to sweet talk him, and they're going to do all of the things. We're going to go get Anthony Davis. We're going to do whatever you want. They are going to treat him like royalty. And that's as you see those stories start to come out in the next few weeks, that's going to piss off Celtic fans even more. But they have to. And we'll get into more of that and why they have to coming up next. This portion of the program being brought to you by Feldman Land Surveyors. We go to the phone calls as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.